Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being reminded that with God on your side, nothing will prevail against you. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 31, for a message called, If God is for us, who can be against us? As we go back to basics.
And although Satan might come with all of his accusations, God would just simply ignore those things because the case is closed. It's already been decided. But the picture here reminds me of what we find in Zechariah chapter 3. And we read there, Then he showed me, the angel showed Zechariah, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you in rich robes. You know, this is the picture of each and every one of us. But we have to remember that God sees us differently. When God looks at you, he does not see what you see when you look at yourself. He doesn't see what I see when I look at you. You look at yourself and you can see all kinds of flaws if you're realistic about yourself. Of course, not everybody is, but but the reality is we are all flawed, aren't we? And even if we can't see it in ourselves, others can certainly see it in us. We can see it in each other. But you know, here's the amazing thing. When God looks at you, when God looks at me, he doesn't see those things. How could that be? Because we've been justified. We've been declared righteous. God sees you today in Christ. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. And he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And just like this picture here, here's Joshua the high priest, and he's there in this filthy garment. And Satan is there to accuse him. Look at this filthy garment. Oh, Joshua, he's worthless. And there he is making these accusations, but what does God say? God says, take away those filthy garments and clothe him in a garment of righteousness. And that's exactly what has happened with us. God has declared us righteous, and he's clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. You see, we have to understand that there is both a practical but also a positional aspect to our salvation. We think in terms constantly of the practical, meaning, you know, the here and now, what we see right now. But we have to understand that there is a positional aspect. We hold a position. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are seated presently in heavenly places in Christ. We're in Christ. Christ is in heaven. So God sees us, in a sense, there with him already. And so when God looks at you, when God looks at me, he sees us positionally. He sees us in Christ. And he's working in our lives practically to bring that about. And that will come about. But it will only come about when we finally make the transition from this world into the next world. But the truth of the matter is this. No one can bring a charge against us that God is going to pay any attention to, because as the judge, he's already decided the case. And so Paul then asks, who is he who condemns? Who is he who condemns? Well, without a doubt, there are many who want to. You know, sometimes our own hearts condemn us, don't they? Sometimes that's just it. We put an unrealistic standard up for ourselves, and then we fall short of it, and so we're condemning ourselves over that. Or maybe it's not even an unrealistic standard. Maybe we just fell flat on our faces. And then we're living in a state of self-condemnation. I've talked to many people over the years who, it's clear because the Bible says so, that God has forgiven them, but they can't forgive themselves. People have said to me, well, I just can't forgive myself. Well, God has forgiven you. If God's forgiven you, then why would you continue to condemn yourselves? But we do sometimes. Our hearts condemn us. And then, of course, our critics, our detractors, our enemies, they will seek to condemn us. And people will do this, unfortunately. They will criticize us, and they will slander us, and they will say things about us that aren't true, and they will attempt to condemn us in the eyes of others. And then the demons and Satan himself. Now, this is one of the things that, as I've mentioned, Satan spends much of his time doing. As we read already, he's referred to as the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night before God. You want to know what the devil does? Well, one of the things he does is he spends a lot of his time accusing you and me before God. Always there with an accusation. Always there to suggest that God ought to just destroy us. Always there to point out any little inconsistency, little flaw, just like the passage in Zechariah. There's Satan, Joshua the high priest, and there's Satan pointing the accusing finger at him. And that's what happens. The enemy comes along and he floods sometimes our mind with these thoughts. I was talking to a man after the first service this morning, and he said, you know, that really helped me this morning. I want to follow the Lord, and I'm trying to, you know, lead my family, but so often I feel condemned. And, you know, as he's saying it, he actually used the term, you know, and so often, you know, Satan's condemning me. And yet I could sense as he was talking, he was still feeling under the weight of that condemnation. And I said, listen, you just said it yourself. Yes, it's Satan who's condemning you. It's surely not Christ. It's not Christ. How do we know that? Well, we're told. No, Christ died for you. Who is he that condemns? It's not Christ. Know this first and foremost. When that condemning voice is there, trying to convince you that God's finished with you, that he's done, that it's over, that you might as well just forget it. No, that is not Christ. Who is he that condemns? It's not Christ. No, Jesus is not doing that. What is he doing? Well, first of all, he died for the very things you're being condemned over. He died for those things. But not only did he die, he rose again for our justification. He rose again so we could be declared righteous, that we could be justified, and not have those things put on our account. They were imputed to him. Our sin was imputed to Christ. Our sin was put on his account. His righteousness was then put on our account. So what is Jesus doing? Well, Paul tells us he not only died and rose again, but he is presently making intercession for us. And again, it goes back to the picture that we have in Zechariah. And a similar thing is said in 1 John chapter 2. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. You see, when we sin and when Satan would try to capitalize on that and come in and seek to condemn us, no, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation. Remember what that word means? He's the one who bore the punishment for the sin. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who appeased the wrath of God against sin. And there he is. He's interceding. See, Christ isn't condemning us. No, he's praying for us. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the ministry, the current ministry of Jesus is to do this. We know about the ministry of Jesus while he was here on earth, right? We saw that he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We saw all of the wonderful miracles and things that he did. But of course, the primary thing that he did when he came to the earth was he died for our sins. And then he rose again. And then he ascended to heaven. What is he doing in heaven? He's making intercession for us. Jesus is right there at the right hand of the Father. And so when the devil comes strolling through town, as he occasionally does, we read in Scripture, and he starts to point the finger at me or at you, our advocate with the Father is right there. Jesus Christ the righteous, making intercession for us. There as a perpetual testimony to the fact that we have been forgiven and that we are now declared righteous. And here the apostle is surely echoing the words of the servant in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what it says. It says, "He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us face each other. Who is my adversary? Let him confront me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who condemns me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up." That's the truth. Who is he that condemns? They have no authority. They have no power. The only power Satan has in this regard is to fool us into thinking that we are condemned. And he's very crafty. He's very clever. He's very practiced. He's been doing this for a long, long time. So he's good at it. And he comes along. And you know, I think Satan has the philosophy, kind of if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of philosophy. You know, he uses the same stuff over and over again because it works. The same type of things he's been doing to people from generation to generation. And how do we come out from under that weight of condemnation? We come out from under it by taking hold of the truth of God's word and realizing what Paul is saying right here. God is for us. God is for us. He's not against us. He's for us. Look at all he's done. He's given us his son. He's going to certainly, he's done the greatest thing. He's certainly going to finish the job. It's kind of what Paul's saying. We can be absolutely confident in that. I'm thinking of Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul tells us that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. God saved us, put his seal upon us, and that means we belong to him, and he's going to then collect on that. We're going to get there, the day of redemption. We're going to get to where he intends us to be. And so, if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. No one can succeed in their efforts to derail God's intended purpose to get you into glory. But who is God for? He's for those who are in Christ. Remember, that's the key. These are promises for God's people. These aren't just universal promises for anybody and everybody. These are specific promises for the people of God. So as a person who is in Christ, as a person who has received Christ, As a believer, are you struggling today? Maybe it's a family problem, a financial problem. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe there's some difficulty or crisis, or maybe even, you know, maybe there's some tragedy that's happening in your life. And because that's going on, there's a strong temptation to think that somehow maybe God has lost control, or he has abandoned you, or maybe God is not for me. That's what we tend to think when things go wrong. But like I said earlier, we tend to think that because we're always thinking of things in the here and the now, and we're not thinking ahead. God is preparing us for eternity. We're all going there. We're all moving in that direction. There's no escape. We're all headed out of this world and into the next. And because the next world is the eternal world, this is a time of preparation for that. So when these things happen to us, these kinds of problems come along, we need to remember that in the midst of those, God is still for me. Even though I can't, from my perspective today and my limited view of the future, I don't see how this really could be an indicator that God is for me. But yet by faith, yes, I believe that it is. I hold on to this. I stand on that promise that we've looked at, that all things are working together for good to those who love God. I was on the phone with a friend of mine yesterday who has cancer. And he's a very dear friend, a close friend, a partner in ministry. And we'd prayed for him over the past few weeks. And he had a tumor removed. And then, there was some follow-up biopsy that needed to be done. And the prayer request was that, the remainder of the test, everything would turn up clear. And he called me yesterday to inform me that things are not clear and that the prognosis is not good in one sense. And, as his friend, somebody who loves him and cares about him, I just, it's like a kick in the gut. Lord, this is tough. But, he's got a lot of confidence in the Lord. And we were talking about, what the doctors are suggesting and so forth. And he said something that I thought was so mature in his perspective. He told me what the doctors are suggesting, what the possibilities are. And he said, but I really just want to get the mind of the Lord on this. I thought, that's great. He's not panicking. He's not just, running amok with, I got to do something. He's calm. He's just saying, I need to get the mind of the Lord. Because he has confidence that God is for him. And as I spent the day kind of intermittently praying for him yesterday, I just kept going back to that, Lord, you're for him. You're for his family. You're for his wife. You're for his children. You're for his church. You're for the ministry. You're for all of those things. And wherever you're at today in your life and whatever challenges you might be facing, you need to remember this, God is for you. And these things that are arrayed against you that look like they could potentially overwhelm and overthrow you, they can't, because God is for you. And I take such comfort and encouragement as a pastor, just knowing that, this is going to sound kind of stupid, but that God is really real. That as much as I would love to help everybody and solve everybody's problems, people come to me all the time with problems and I would love to do something for you, but I have limitations. There's most things people need to have done. I can't do them. But you know what? God can. And he does. And so when we say things like, hey, come up for prayer and so forth, that's not just, well, hey, we can't help you, but come on up and let's just say a little prayer and see. No. We believe that God is alive. He's real. He's interested. He loves you. He's got a plan. And as we're praying, we're calling upon the Lord. We're trusting God, intervene. Do something here. And you know what we see over and over again? We see that very thing happening. We see that very thing happening. I gotta just spontaneously say this. There's a friend of mine sitting outside right now, Jerry. And I met Jerry several years ago. And when I met him, my introduction to him was, he told me that he was dying of cancer and that he was given just a very brief amount of time to live. I think it was at that point, just maybe a month or so. This is probably 7, 8, 9 years ago now, something like that. And we met. He shared that with me. We talked. He asked me to pray for him. I prayed for him. And he's sitting out there right now. But there's more to it than that. Several months ago, again, he was, you know, given another, cancer gone into remission. Cancer's come back. Given another, don't have much time, a few months or whatever. And just saw him this morning. And his wife, Judy, said to me, she said, well, ever since you prayed for him, he's been back on the upswing again. And, you know, all of that is just simply this. It's just a testimony to the reality of God. God is for us. Now, of course, in the end, God's going to take us all home at some point. If it's not through the rapture, it'll be through the natural process. But that's okay, because that's where we're headed anyway. That's the whole point of everything, is to get us there. But God's going to get us there. He's faithful. And he's going to take care of us on the journey. So listen, whatever the problem is, a problem in your family, a problem in your finances, a problem with your health, if you're afraid, depressed, if you're feeling hopeless, know this today. If you're in Christ, God is for you. He's for you. And even though right this second, it's hard to see, okay, God, you know, it's like Gideon. The angel came to Gideon and said, oh, mighty man of valor, God is with you. And Gideon's like, you're joking, right? Wait, if God is with us, why is everything such a mess? You know, it's interesting. The Lord doesn't even respond to him. He doesn't even tell him why. He just says, don't worry about this. Go and do this. And, you know, so you might look at your circumstances and say, well, if God is for me, why is this the way it is? Don't worry about that. Just trust that he's for you. Believe that he's for you. Call upon him and look for his work to take place in your life in the days ahead. Now, if you're not in Christ, you don't have this confidence. This is the confidence that God's people have. If you're not in Christ, you don't have the confidence. But here's the question. What is keeping you from Christ? What is keeping you back? Let it go. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. Whatever you're holding on to today, thinking, no, I can't give everything to Jesus. I need this. No, you're being deceived. It's amazing the things that people will trade their soul for. It is absolutely astonishing. The things that people will hold on to. It's like C.S. Lewis once said, you know, men are all preoccupied with sex and drink and things like this. And the glory of God in eternity, they're just completely oblivious to it. That's a paraphrase, but that's kind of what he said. But it's so true. Those are the things sometimes people are holding on to, this thing. Let it go. Come to Christ. Receive him truly, fully. And then you will be in the position, because you will be in Christ. You will be in the position that one must be in to have the confidence that God is for me. God is for us.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called If God Is For Us, Who Can Be Against Us? And the resource number is BBT0006. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.